Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson, and I'd like to welcome you back to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. And as always, I got to say thank you to the listeners. Thank you. I greatly thank everybody for listening to this podcast. Tonight, I'm telling a story. It's that time again. It's story time. So I'm going to give y'all a story. Something from my past happened to me with a bit of a twist. So please, sit back, relax, and I'll be back with the question of the night. All right, so we're back with the question of tonight. And that question is, do people love to lust? Or do they lust for love? Honestly, I think it's a combination of both. And I think that it has to be a combination of both. It's not like you're given a choice. Because lust is, you can't prevent it. You can't stop it. Same as love. When it hits you like a ton of bricks. You can't stop it. It overpowers you. It takes over. There are many different opinions on whether people love or lust, or lust for love. Some people believe that we're born with natural inclinations towards each other, while others believe that it's something that we learn over time. Some experts say that lust is all about physical attraction and sexual desires, while love is more about emotional connection, and that word intimacy. Others argue that both lust and love involves both physical and emotional elements. There's really no right or wrong to the question. You know, whatever answer you give is pretty much the answer that you're supposed to give, because honestly, both of them are pretty much the same. And I think it's, honestly, it's what you call entirely subjective, you know? However, it is interesting to think about which one has more value. Which one we value more. The desire for physical pleasure or the desire for an emotional connection. Because some people really don't need the physical desire. They need you to be linked in with them emotionally. And some people just need to rip their clothes off and start humping. Love is a complex emotion that can be interpreted in many ways. Some people believe that love and lust are two separate emotions, while others believe that love can be a form of lust. Lust has that fucking intense desire for someone, you know? It's directed towards that person or object. But we're going to talk about people. We're not talking about objects or experiences. I'm talking about people here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. The lust for a person is like no other feeling. Whereas From the same point of view, love is the same thing. When you fall in love, nothing else matters. Nobody else matters. When you love one person, you're committed to that person, everything and everybody is secondary. Hell, there have been times when my kids I love them to death. They are my everything. I will die for my children. But when I was in love, and sometimes when I was in lust, and I'm like, oh, okay, y'all ain't call and say Happy Father's Day. All right, well, the lady or the woman that I'm with, you know, she done took me to dinner and I'm good. And I didn't have no ill feelings towards my kids. It was just like I expected more, but, you know, they have their reasonings. And that lets me know that I can't stop my life. I can't stop being in love, and I can't stop lusting, even though I don't lust no more. Nah, those lusting days, oh. But that's how strong love and lust is. It's like, okay, my kids ain't fucking with me. All right, I'll talk to them later. But I'm happy with this person who I'm with, who I'm connecting with. You know, I love my kids to death, but that's how it is. People who lust for love may be looking for an intense feeling of excitement, passion in their relationships. I think that's like a no-brainer. You know what I'm saying? I think that comes with the love and the lust. It's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? You can't deny that excitement, that passion. When those feelings are generating and you can almost feel the feeling. You can almost feel your partner's feelings. That's how you know that shit is real. When you and your partner are on the same page and you don't even have to say anything. And you know that you're connecting. That's a great feeling right there, man. And the thing is, it don't come all the time. I mean, I've been in several relationships, and I know when I've been in love. I automatically know when I'm in love, and I automatically know when it's just okay. I'm gonna smash, and I'm gonna take my ass on home, or I'm gonna go to the club, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It was just for the moment. Honestly, people love the lust. I just think that it is it is unusually sexual in nature. But it can also be emotional and physical. And I think that when it comes to lust, sex stands out a lot more. And I think with love, it's more the emotions and, you know, feelings get involved. You know what I'm saying? Now I know I've lust for good conversation with somebody, with some people before, with some women. You know what I'm saying? Because I know what they could do in the bedroom, but I need you to connect with me on a more intellectual level or more, level where we have in conversation that has meaning, that has substance. You know what I'm saying? I don't just want to talk about sex and love and hip hop. You know what I'm saying? That don't hold my attention. If you can talk to me about, you know, spirituality or how to make passive income, how to evolve from where I'm at now into something else. Oh, that's better. That's almost just as good as fucking me. You know what I'm saying? But I think lust can be a very strong motivator also. And it can be difficult to resist that temptation when acted upon. So in my wrapping this whole lust and love, you know, back and forth conversation, it's evident that people love to lust and lust for love. Where there are many different reasons why someone may be drawn to one or the other, it's clear that both have a powerful appeal. Whether it is the physical pleasure associated with lusting, or that emotional connection that comes with loving. These two concepts are sure to keep people engaged. While there may be some who only experience one or the other, it's generally accepted that most people can enjoy both. It is important to have both love and lust in order to feel complete. So, ask yourself this question. What is it that attracts you to one or the other? And we'll be right back with the topic of the night. All right, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm going to go ahead and get into this story of mine. But first, let me speak on something before I get into the story. In today's world, man, society once again dictates who we should be sexual. And y'all know my views on how I feel about society trying to tell us what to do and how to do it. Y'all done heard it plenty of times on this podcast. But we are human beings and we require sex like we fucking require water and food to eat. It's vital to our everyday existence. Yet for some damn reason, people just want to fucking scrutinize the whole sexual evolution. I mean, revolution, the rise of sex, the you know, the people, you know, doing something out of the norm that other people think that's irregular. No, it might be irregular to you, but to another person, it's what they enjoy doing. So stop with the fucking, you know, you should be ashamed for having a podcast. You should be ashamed to date the same gender. You should be ashamed that you dating somebody white and you black. If you white and you like somebody who's black, fucking go with that. And vice versa. Now, I'm not an advocate for homosexuality or lesbianism, but I understand when two people are together and they enjoy themselves. So you have to respect that. You have to respect that. I have family members who are, you know, dating the same gender. I'm not going to love them any less. And I'm not going to look at people any less. I'm not going to look at interracial relationships any less. So people stop with the fucking being so judgmental, you know? And I don't mean to go off on a rant with this, but it's just certain things that I read and see, man, it really bugs me the fuck out. You know, and it always come back to why people have an issue about who you are sexually. You know, it's under an umbrella of taboo. And I think with the watered down communication, you got to dilute. Which is say you got to watch how you say shit to people. Everybody's offended. So when you talk about sex, they gonna really feel like you offending them. Because they feel like you shouldn't be talking to them about that. Or you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be so open about it. If you don't want to listen, please don't listen. But if you want to hear some shit, if you want to, you know, open your mind and broaden who you are as a person sexually, then do that. If you want to get on a podcast, talk about that shit. If not, then, you know, write about it or tell somebody about it. But don't feel like you're trapped in a fucking cocoon. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I want to tell this story because, for one, it's kind of different, you know what I'm saying? It's unique in its own way. And I know when I tell it, people are going to probably think one way, but it's totally the opposite. I know it is. I know people are going to think like that, but here we go. I was in a great relationship. One of the best relationships I had with this person. And she gave me space to be me and vice versa. You know, we had our time together, and then when we separated and went about our day without each other, we still had that communication, that strong bond that just held the relationship intact. But one morning, I think it was on the weekend, I went to the gym and, you know, I was exercising and working out. And this young lady, she walks over to me and compliments me on, you know, how good I'm looking. So immediately, I'm gassed up. You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of flexing a little bit, showing my abs, you know, just, you know, being on some other shit. And it felt good. So, you know, she gave me her number and we talked. And she paged me like 2 hours later. And she was like, "You want to come over?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Knowing that I shouldn't have went over. You know what I'm saying? Because I was, you know, I had made up in my mind that I was going to enjoy the day. I wasn't going to be with no one. I wasn't going to be with my girl. So I was going to, you know, just and do some things that I need to do. You know, I needed to get a haircut when I had hair. I need to, you know, groom myself, wash some clothes, and just, you know, be me. But, you know, she came in there and she looking good. The wig was, even though I don't do wigs, the wig was fire. And the little, the workout outfit really got me. I hadn't seen anything like that before, you know what I'm saying? It was on some different shit. You know, it was classy, but it showed just enough to entice me. And that's what she did. She enticed me. So I get to a spot and we, you know, start talking and she gets up on me and tells me that she's been looking at me. You know, she's seen me in the gym before and she's been checking me out. She wanted to say something. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, what made you pick the day to say something? And she said, you were just looking good. You know, that the fact that your arms were out and, you know, you was glistening, you know what I'm saying? You had a little shine on you, made you very attractive. I'm like, yeah. So, you know, we started messing around, and next thing you know, I was in the bedroom. And I didn't even get a chance to take a shower, y'all. She was on it like doggone it. You know what I mean? Just, oh, God. She went from the left side of my neck, traveling all the way down to my chest, moving down to my navel. Oh, then she got down to that area that I need some attention. And when I say in one gulp, she took everything I had and worked the fuck out of me. I mean, I was paralyzed. I was paralyzed. It was like my legs couldn't move. And then she wrapped her arms around my legs to hold me in place. And just, it was mouth to groin. It was as if my dick disappeared. It was gone. Vamoose. Vanished. Bye-bye. I couldn't take it. I had to lift her up. I'm like, you know what? If you don't stop, it's about to be over with. So I'm like, you want to go take a shower? She's like, no, I don't want to take a shower. I had you in my mouth. So no, take your clothes off and get in the bed. I love a woman that can be demanding sometimes, especially in the bedroom. And she was like, get in the bed now. I got in the bed. She jumped on top of me and rolled me for at least 10 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes. It was so good. Her pussy was lifting both of us up off the bed as she was fucking me. I was out of my fucking mind. I couldn't believe this was happening. I couldn't believe that I had got with a woman with a wig on who's fucked me that good. After like two orgasms, a bottle of Gatorade and a kiss on the cheek goodbye, I was done. I felt like I had no energy. So I go home, take a shower, and my girl calls. And she said, one of my friends having a birthday party, would you like to go? And I'm like, okay. Didn't want to, but then want her to go to the club by herself because she was looking good. You know what I'm saying? I had like a little jealous thing going. I ain't gonna lie. You know, and she liked to wear certain clothes that highlighted her ass. I mean, she wasn't that big up top, but that ass was like, pow! God damn, pow! So when she said she was going, I knew what she was going to wear. So she gets to my spot. And I think it was the alcohol that kind of curved my, what I wanted to say. Because I was about to say, if you don't go take that shit off, it's about to be a problem. But the Crown Royal was like rocking me. It was rocking my bells, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So I went with it. I accepted. I said, okay. So we go to the club, have a good time, we dancing, and my girl goes to the restroom. So I'm standing at the bar, and a young lady walks up to me, and she got on this wig. I'm like, oh no, not the wig again. So she's talking to me, and she started dancing. She turned around, put her ass on my dick as she's dancing. And the bartender looking at me, and I'm looking at him. I'm looking at him, he looking at me. He smiles, he nods. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. So automatically, my dick get hard again. And the girl looks back at me and said, oh, you like this, huh? I'm like, hell yeah. So she was like, why don't you walk outside with me to my car? And me being so caught up in the moment, I walk outside to the car with her, get in her car. We go at it. She is kissing me all over, makes me take down my pants and get on top of me. And she had a Tahoe. I think it was a brand new Tahoe. So we had room to recline the seat back. So I'm reclined back. She's on top of me. And she's dropping down like a fucking hammer. Pow, pow, pow. All you hear is the smacking of her pussy up against my testicles. Now I'm hurting a little bit because I just had sex early. And she's very thick. She had to be about 5'8", 5'9". So she has a thick frame and she worked out. So she's riding me. And I'm like, oh my God, I can feel the energy, that sexual energy just ripping through my veins. And next thing you know, I have an orgasm again, the second orgasm of the day. With a woman with a wig on. So I got to, you know, get back inside. I got to get myself cleaned up and, you know, get back on point. Because I'm like, I got to get together. So I go inside and I, you know, wash my face and, you know, get me a peppermint from the from the guy, you know, who be in the bathroom, which I've never cared for a cat up in the bathroom giving out peppermints. And I understand the concept, but, you know, it was weird for me. But I was drunk, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I got the peppermint, gave him a couple of dollars, and went back up to my my girl. You know, she had just walked up to the back to the bar, and we was walking up at the same time. And she was like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I just had to, you know, wash my face, get myself together. And she looked at me kind of, you know, with a particular, you know, with a peculiar look and just smiled. So we went out and danced and had a nice time, slow dance, and went and got something to eat. So as we're sitting there eating, she asked me if I want to go back to her place, or, you know, if she want, or that I want her to come to my place. And I'm like, well, let's go back over to your place. You know, let's go to your place. So after we get like a little, you know, we get like something to take with us to go, we get to the house and she puts in a porn DVD. And I'm like, no. I have no more energy. I'm done. I'm trying to eat this chicken and egg on toast sandwich and drink this orange juice. So my girl, she's one of those type that, you know, she loves attention. She loves giving attention. So she wanted to perform oral sex. And she was like, well, I want to be selfish tonight. I really just want you to eat my pussy and just fuck me. And I was like, good, because you can't give me oral sex. You know what I'm saying? Because, oh, I couldn't handle it. So I got on my knees. I did what I had to do to get her wound up, get her right, get her wet. And, you know, I locked both her legs in my arms, pulled her towards me, and performed the best oral sex that I performed, I think, in that decade. I'm sorry, y'all. Oh, I have to tap myself on the shoulder because it was solid. It was like, and I've always been a master at certain things. But that night, I guess I was so gassed up from all the sex I was getting. You know, I had to give what I had gotten, meaning that I was giving so much attention that day, I had to give her that same type of attention back. So we're going at it, and she's trying to stop me from performing oral sex, but I won't stop because I know she's the type that like multiple orgasms. So she's already on number two, and I'm trying to work number three out of her ass like pow. And like I said, she's a little thick, so she had, you know, strong legs. So she maneuver out of my arms, out of the clutches of my arms, but I'm just holding her there and I'm working my mouth on her vagina. And she finally succumbs and gives in to what it is that I'm doing and what it is that I'm providing. She yells my name over and over. Don't stop, Rob. Don't stop, Rob. Don't stop, Rob. And I'm like, I'm trying to say, I'm not going to stop, but my mouth is full. I can't say it. So, you know, I'm going back and forth. She going back and forth. And she finally has the third one. And passes out. Pass the fuck out. I mean, she was like, wasn't snoring, but had a loud, light snore. And I'm like, oh my God. At that moment, I realized who the fuck I am. Sexual. I'm a fucking beast. I put somebody to sleep. I've always been the one who been put to sleep. But today, tonight, early that morning, I had put somebody to sleep, y'all. That mug probably slept for about a good hour. So I'm sitting there watching ESPN highlights. She gets up and starts laughing. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. You fucking with something like a beast, girl. You don't know? Let me tell you. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what just happened, because apparently you passed the fuck out. She was dying laughing. So she goes to the bathroom. And she comes out. And she's wearing the same wig that she had on at the gym. And it was at the restaurant. I'm like, not the wig again. She's like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm about to put the wig on. Because when I put the wig on, it seemed like you be coming way too much. So there's something about this wig that you like. I'm like, because it's different. I'm not trying to say I want to fuck somebody else, but the wig add a different element. You know, yeah, you're trying to fuck somebody else. You want somebody who look like this. And I'm like, girl, stop. It is not like that. But in the back of my mind, I did have a fetish. Even though I don't like women in wigs, if it's worn right, if it doesn't look like a baseball cap, like it's just matted up there. There's been certain times where wigs have, you know, women with wigs have turned me on. And that was that time my woman made me have an orgasm 3 times because when she put the wig on again, she got in the bed and we had sex for about at least 45 minutes to an hour. And I passed out. I passed out from, it was early that morning. I didn't wake up till like midday, around 11:30, 12 o'clock. Because I had had 3 orgasms in one day with the same woman with a wig on. And the thing about that is when I was telling, when I got this story again, I had to think about this story a lot because it has, it did happen. It did happen. But I read, well, I actually know someone who had sex with 3 women in one day. I pretty much saw him have sex with 3 women in one day. And I don't mean sat there and watched him. I saw him get with the 3 different women. And one woman, when she came out of his house, had semen around her face. So I know he did work. You know what I'm saying? So I took that story and applied it to the story with me and the young lady with the wig on who made me have 3 orgasms. And, true story, you know what I'm saying? It happened the way I told it. And the thing about the relationship was I didn't realize who I had. And trust me, y'all gonna hear this a lot with my stories. I've had some good women in my life. I did. The majority of it is me being selfish and being undisciplined. Meaning that I didn't think women controlled me. I wouldn't let women control me. And a lot of times women didn't want to control me. They just wanted to have a decent relationship. And I looked at it in a way that they're trying to control me or they're trying to lock me down. And, you know, with that, I had to let them see or I had to show them that I wasn't that person to be locked down. And you had to see that I was a man who could pull any woman. And that was like the worst fucking thought process I could have ever had. Now, do I regret losing a lot of women? Some. Some are, you know, doing well, and some are, you know, pretty much in the same space that they was in when I dealt with them. So everything is an experience. Everything happens for a reason. So I don't have regrets about anything. I have few. I have a couple regrets. And you know, I've gotten to a point where I've gotten used to what has happened and how my life is supposed to be. So when it comes to certain women that I felt like I should have been with or I should have had a better connection with and I fucked it up, then I have to live with that. But I also have to look at it as experience in my life. And every experience is not a good experience. And every bad experience is not a bad one. Every bad experience is not a good one. Well, all experiences are not alike. You go to certain experiences because you have to. It gives you fucking depth. It helps you grow. It helps you see shit from a different perspective. And that young lady who was in my life that made me have 3 orgasms and wore the wig 3 times, she was the one. I just wasn't ready. So that's it for me as far as my storytelling. I know I've been a little bit more graphic than usual, but sometimes when I have to tell a story, I have to be, you're going to get that. You're going to get that R-A-W. You're going to get that raw off the cuff story because that's the only way I know how to tell it. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times I can tell a story every podcast, but that's not what the podcast is about. It's not about me talking about who I fucked or who had the best pussy. No, it's about, you know, relationships. It's about courtship. It's about dating. It's about divorce. It's about friendships. It's about online dating. It's about fucking coming together. It's about breaking up and how to deal with the breakup. How to accept the fact that somebody has left your life. It's gone. And how to move on from that. But I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I hope that, you know, some of y'all don't think it's just too vulgar for you. And if it is, I understand. If you choose not to subscribe and like and share, understand. But everybody that fucks with me, please like, share, and subscribe to this motherfucker. Because I'm doing this, and, you know, I hope that you enjoy it, because I enjoy sitting down talking for like 30 minutes about what goes on in my mind, what goes on, what my thoughts are about sex, relationships, and fucking, and everything under the umbrella. So I hope everybody have a good night. Take care of yourselves. Stay out. Please check out the book Heart's Seduction by J.R. Robinson. It's a small ebook. It's my first book that I wrote, put together, and put out there and published. I didn't publish it, but I had it published through somebody. But it's my first book, and it means a lot to me. It's not that long, but it's interesting. Check it out. Barnes and Noble's online. What else? Amazon Kindle, Google, Apple Play Store. Check it out. Heart Seduction. Hearts. Apostrophe S. Hearts Seduction. And if you got anything you want to talk about, any stories you want me to tell, anything you want to critique me on, as long as you respect the boat, hit me up at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. If not, y'all take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to y'all later. Peace. Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson, and I'd like to welcome you back to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. And as always, I'm going to say thank you to the listeners and the supporters who listen to this podcast and who has helped this podcast grow. Tonight, I'm just going to ramble tonight. I'm not going to have a topic, and I don't think I'm going to do a question of the night, because I'm just out and about, you know, and just thinking about some stuff, you know, my past, my relationships, and want to see if there was something I could talk about. And then I was like, you know what? Why don't I talk about how the failed relationships wasn't my problem, wasn't my fault. And a lot of times I do take blame for stuff. And somebody was asking me, it was like, well, were you that bad in relationships? I'm like, no, I wasn't that bad, because I'm, you know, confessing and speaking on it doesn't, you know, say, does it really come across that I was a bad person to be in a relationship? Did I have relationship issues? And I had to honestly, you know, think about that as I was driving. I'm like, no, it wasn't all me. I can look in the mirror and totally acknowledge that I didn't cause a lot of breakups. Now, I had my fair share, and I will take the blame for that. But there were times when I was lured or pulled into that situation by a woman. Now, I know some women are going to be like, okay, this motherfucker, you know, he on that bullshit talking about women made him act up or do the shit that he did. Because women don't want to accept the truth that there are times when they can nag the fuck out of you. They can drain you. They can take your money. They can fuck your homeboy. They can do a lot of shit that make you not really want to fuck with them no more. You know, and just step away. I mean, there have been times when, you know, people would take for granted that when I say I was done with them, they really didn't believe that. What they would do, they would kind of like still hang on to the relationship and call me and ask me to do stuff and, you know, can you come by? And I'm like, you know what? I can show you better. I can tell you. I can tell you all day. You ain't gonna get it, but let me show you. So I would ignore them and not call and not, you know, go by their house. And if I saw them out, you know, I would get into, you know, talk to someone else, get in someone else's space. And, you know, I would say, hey, how you doing? And keep it going. So I think that had to let women know that certain women, that, okay, he's done with me completely. You know what I'm saying? He done went to that extent to let me know that he's not fucking with me, you know? And sometimes it needed to be done because some people just don't get it that, you know, you're done with them. They think they can have you hang on. And one of the main, I think one of the things that a lot of women bank on is that thing they got between their legs. For some reason, that seems to be like the holy grail. That seems to be like the blueprint to every situation. Ladies, to a weak man, yeah. You can pull that off. You can use that beautiful organ that you got between your legs to hold a man at bay. If he's weak in mind and weak in the heart and weak in the spirit. But if you got a man who don't get fazed by that, not because I can pull women at any time, because it never, pussy never ruled me. Now, okay, let me change that. Let me change that. There's been a couple of times when, you know, it had me on lock. Clank, clank. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, 90% of the time in my relationships, pussy didn't rule me. It didn't keep me at bay. It didn't, like, have a hold on me. So women think that you need that in order to survive. A weak man, yeah. A strong man, he needs money. He needs to stand on his square. He needs to be about something. He needs to build his you know, make sure his family's okay. And he needs to build himself. He needs to improve in everything that he does as a man every day. He's not going to just be satisfied with who he is. And if that woman don't understand, if that woman can't help him grow as a man, then guess what? He's stepping off. He's stepping the fuck off. Because he ain't got time. Because you ladies will be the weak link in his chain. And if a man, if a strong man recognizes that a woman is a weak link in his chain, then guess what? He's going to get rid of that weak link. And he's going to weld that chain back together and keep it moving. So, and this ain't bashing. This just talking. This me talking, you know, speaking my, you know, my facts from my perspective. And honestly, I just feel like a lot of men get a raw deal for not being what a woman wants him to be. You can't change a man. You can't make a man be who you think he should think he should be or who you want him to be. Because you won't let a man change you. You won't let a man dictate who you're supposed to be in a relationship. So why is it that it's okay for you to do it? Why is it for you to treat a man like a child and think it's okay? Curse him out. You know, tell him he ain't shit. Say his mama ain't shit. And then you give him a call at 7 o'clock in the morning. Hey, babe. I was going through something. You know I love you. Why don't you come through and get some of this good love? What? You don't say my mommy ain't shit? Hell no. Keep your pussy. And I don't mean to sound so vulgar. I'm just being silly right now. But that's how men feel. You know what I'm saying? If you take them through changes and and disrupt they flow, then they not fucking with you. A real man won't fuck with you. A high-valued man, the same thing that you asked for, ladies, a high-valued man. What the fuck is a high-valued man? Why do I have to be high-valued when you on TikTok or Instagram twerking? What's your value? What is it that you bring to the table other than ass? Titties, ass. Come on, ladies. Come on. And like I say, this ain't bashing, just me talking. Because there's a lot of radio shows and TV shows and books where women try to tell how a man supposed to be. How the fuck can a woman tell a man how he's supposed to be? I have seen studs who are all manly like, but whenever a situation where a snake or, now don't get me wrong, I'm scared. I don't fuck with snakes neither. But whenever something happens where, you know, a man needs to get involved, that stud personality goes out the window and they become the woman that they are. Now, I don't have any issues with anybody who are studs or who, you know, are, you know, homosexual or whatever. That ain't my, you know, I don't have no hang up with that. I'm just speaking. But it's just funny how a situation can make you into who you really are. A lot of women don't want to hear this. A lot of women don't feel like, I should be, you know, I should probably talk like this. You know what I'm saying? But it's true. And I'm talking about it from my point of view, from what has happened to me, what I have gone through, what I have seen, what I have dealt with. So when I see situations on TV or when I read something and I see what a woman is asking or seeking a high-valued man, what do you bring to the table other than pussy? Which a man can get anywhere. He can pay for it. He can walk into the gas station and meet the cashier behind the counter. He can walk into a bakery and get some donuts. He can find pussy anywhere. He can go online and find pussy. Sex is available 24/7 to any man if he's on the square. If you know how to get it. So the fact that women use their vagina as a weapon, as a treasure chest, as the golden goose, that day is like, it's pretty much gone. It's non-existent to a real man. To a strong man. A weak man, yeah. You can pull him all day, ladies. You can get him to wash your car, cut your grass, pressure wash the house, and put some money in the damn bank account for you, and feed the kids. All because of what you got between your legs. And this ain't about what you got between your legs. No, this is about me talking about women bringing men to a point where they don't want to be bothered with them, where they want to, you know, walk away when women are the problem and it's not the man. And sure, there are some men that are not shit. There are some men that do some fuck shit. There are men who just ain't gonna be shit. You know what I'm saying? They gonna leave this earth as ain't shit motherfuckers. But for the men who are grinding, for the men who stand up and take care of the kids, for the men who will open the door for his woman, for the man who will make sure that his woman has gas before she go to work the next morning, who will take the car to the gas station and put gas in the car so that way she ain't got to worry about that before she got to go to work, for the man who will just bring you lunch just because. When the man who would say, you know what, it's not Valentine's Day, it's not your birthday, and it's not Christmas, but you know what, goddamn it, I love your ass. Here. Here's this ring. Put it on your finger. For that type of man, I salute him. And there are men out there like that, ladies. Stop twerking online and find that man. Present yourself in a way where that man can find you. You find him and he find you. Whoever find each other don't make a difference. Stop believing what people say a man supposed to come find you. If you got to get out there and go find your man, girl, go out there and get one. Clean him up. I saw this lady who was communicating with this guy in jail for 10, 15 years. He just got out recently. They got married the day he got out. Now, I don't know this lady, but I saw her on a social media platform. Now, I know she probably was doing her thing during that time, you know, but, you know, communicating with him, she, you know, kept that strong. Because with him being in jail, his resources and limitations, his resources was limited. You know what I'm saying? So she did most of the work. Now, I don't know how long that relationship is going to last. I hope it lasts forever, because stuff like that, stories like that is kind of inspirational. It lets you know that love still exists and anything is possible. Now, would I have done it? I don't know. But I know that if my heart is in the right place and if we get together and we make it, then I'm just going to go with the flow. And that's with any situation. But for that to happen, I thought that was like, wow, that's dedication. That's determination. That's commitment. And like I said, she probably was doing her thing. She probably had some side piece on the, you know, on the side until dude got out. But her focus was on that man that she met 10, 15 years ago. Because when he got out, they got together and they're married. Then she took him to the mall and bought him some clothes. She bought him some clothes. He didn't even wait till he got home. He changed his clothes in the mall. Which I understand. You know, for years he'd been wearing certain clothes and now he get a chance to wear some Jordans. I get it. I understand that. But that's dedication. Commitment. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of women don't have that. It's all about what you can do for me. It's all about what you could do for my kids. It's all about, I even went through something like, well, she don't live in your household, so I don't think you need to claim her on your taxes. I personally went through that. And I said, you know what? Okay. And it was like, well, she need this. Hold up. She don't live in my household. So when she comes to my household, she gonna get everything she need. But if she's in your household and she needs certain things, then, you know, you being the man of your house, you run your house the way you run. But when she comes to my house, she gonna be good. Had to throw that in there. You know what I'm saying? Had to throw that in there. But, I people go through that. People go through that type of situation where, you know, if you have a child together and if you are taking care of the child, women can feel like they're the sole parent until it's time for you to come out your pocket. So, I mean, it's a lot of little things that add up to why men don't stay with a certain person or don't even fuck with that person. And once again, this ain't about bashing. Just me talking, me doing my podcast, but doing it in a different way. Who don't like it? Okay. If someone don't want to listen to my podcast, okay. I'm good with that. But I'm going to speak my mind. Like I've always said, I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to say what it is that I'm feeling. And tonight, this is what I feel. This has been on my mind. This is what I see when I do research or when I'm looking at certain stuff online or when I'm watching TV and I see the high-valued man or men ain't shit or the reason why I'm dating a man who's the reason why I'm not dating a black man. That's another thorn in my side. And trust me, interracial relationships have no problem with it. None whatsoever. I think some relationships, some interracial relationships are some of the best relationships. Just like some black people that's together, that's been together for a long period of time, some of the best relationships. Even white people who have been together for a long period of time. I think that's a beautiful thing because you got two people who found a reason not to give up. And if they did give up, they stuck it out. They found a way back to each other. A lot of people can't do that. A lot of men and women can't do that. It's always a man ain't shit. And on the flip side, that blank ain't shit. And I'm not going to say what most men say. You know what I'm saying? Because I have said it. But it's not who I am as a person. I don't look at women as bitches and hoes. I don't. Even when I'm mad, you have to really get me mad for me to think like that. I think it's been two or three women that made me think like that. But anyway, for the most part, I don't look at women like that. So there's a lot of people who can't or who won't find a way to stay together, find a way to make things work. But we're talking about women. I'm talking about women. That's how this started, and that's how I'm going to, you know, keep this energy. Because every day is something different. Every day there's some reason why men and women can't make it work. And for me, every time I think about it, it's a mystery. I cannot put it together. I cannot, you know, get a clear answer. And me being as old as I am, you would think I would know that answer, but it's like it's such a fucking mystery. It's such a big fucking mystery why women shit on us. And vice versa. I can't say women shit on us and not say men do the same thing. I can't. Because being realistic, there's a lot of men who ain't shit. Now, have I been in that category of a man who wasn't shit? Yeah. Plenty of times, plenty of people say I ain't shit. And I accepted that. But I also made myself come out of that category, too. I personally took myself out of that category because I recognized that I was an ain't shit type motherfucker. So with a change in who I was, changing my thought process, changing in the way I moved, the way I treated people, the way I act, the way I saw things, elevated me beyond the ain't shit type motherfucker to someone who has some common sense, who has some general sense, who was raised, who went back to who his mother and grandmother and stepfathers and basketball coach and, you know, some of my uncles and aunts raised as a man with good moral character. It took me a while to get back to this, and I'm still a work in progress. I'm not perfect by no means. I'm not the best husband type material. But I'm working on it. I want to be. And I will be. But back to, you know, women bringing men to a place where, you know, they can call a man, where they can say that a man ain't shit. I honestly think if a lot of women took the time to recognize that part of them, then they would have better relationships. They would be able to find a relationship that will work for them, because they understand that, okay, I may have made the last relationship fucked up, so let me make sure that this relationship is not a bad one. Let me work hard to ensure that this relationship works for me. Because nobody wants to be alone. Nobody don't want to get in their 50s and 60s and 70s, hopefully 80s, and be alone. There's enough people for anybody to make a perfect match with somebody. But you got to do the work. You got to be consistent. You got to be willing. You got to be loyal. You got to be trustworthy. You got to be sexual. And not so much intercourse, but, you know, the fucking of the mind. If you can make love to somebody's mind, if you can fuck somebody's mind, then you can. Physical sex ain't nothing. And when I say fuck their mind, I don't mean fuck them over or treat them any kind of way. I'm talking about sexually get into their mind and just be on one accord where everything is like, where both of you are as one. Where both the man and the woman think alike. I know I see women who are married without their wedding ring on. But then the minute a man takes his wedding ring off, it's the end of the world. I see women who let other men who are not their husband or boyfriend hug them and kiss all over them. I'm like, the minute a man does that, it's a problem. You ready to kill the woman. But it's okay for you to do it. I know there was this one chick who told me she didn't think nothing was wrong with it, but had a problem when somebody liked the thing on my Facebook page. Just ran up to some dude she used to deal with and hugged him. I'm like, are you serious? I said, okay. Then I didn't say nothing to her. I just, you know, we was in this little club and it was these tall chicks. I guess they was on the basketball team. And with me being 6'6", they kind of like gravitated towards me. And my girl was sitting over in the corner, you know, talking to dude. And then when he walked off, she was sitting there talking to some other girls, some other young ladies. But her eyes was on me and the tall women talking, because they wanted to know that I play basketball and all like that. And then I have a woman. So when I pointed and said, yeah, that's my woman over there, they looked at me and like, okay. Kind of short, huh? I said, yeah, she a little shorty, but, you know, she good people, you know. But it was like, she was mad the whole night. But she started it by hugging somebody she used to fuck with. Come on. I don't care who he is. If it ain't me, you better not put your arms around. You better not be in his face. Because if you don't want me showing attention to some 6'5", 6'2", 6'3", 6'5", tall chicks, you better not be talking to some dude you was fucking. But anyway, I'm going to do this for about 30 minutes, man. I got like maybe 4 minutes left and I'm going to cut it short. But yo, this is just me rambling, me talking. And I'm going to probably have some more conversations like this. You know what I'm saying? I think it's good for me. You know what I'm saying? As far as therapy, helping me through some shit. But thank you for checking out the podcast. Continue to listen. Continue to support. You can reach me at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. If you have any questions, anything you want to critique me on, as long as you're respectable. And you know what, man? Y'all have a good night. Take care of yourselves. And I'll talk to y'all later. Peace.